stuck. I cannot go back to your frown land. My spirit's made up of the ocean and the sky and the sun and the moon and all I can see. I cannot go back to your land of gloom, where black jagged shadows remind me of the coming of your doom. I want my homeland. Take my hand and come with me. It's not too late for you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Our Podcast Could Be Your Life. My name is Caroline.
My name is Jeff.
And this is a very special episode because we are doing yet another theme month. This is I Hate Music Month.
Oh, yes.
I hate music. It's got too many notes.
And this is a theme month where we do bands that one of us doesn't like and the other one does. We're just going to see what happens. And the other half of that line is that I hate music, it's got too many notes, and nowhere is that more true than with the artists that we're doing today.
Yeah.
If you ask some people.
Yeah, I would definitely say that that is true. And here's the thing. When I came up with the idea for this month, or I guess we came up with it, here I am taking all the credit.
Typical man.
I know.
Taking credit for a woman's work.
it was kind of my thought that, like, because we've done some bands that you like that I don't so much, and not so much vice versa, and that's mostly just because we haven't gotten to them. But
and I did make you listen to like 10 hours of Fish.
Yeah, so. That's true. That was a low light of my life so far. but you know, kind of my thinking was that the bands that we picked that you liked, you know, I was all prepared to go in and be like, you know, the name of this month is a bit of a misnomer. Like, I don't really hate these bands. I'm just sort of indifferent to them. But after a week of listening to Captain Beefheart, you know what?
Yeah.
I fucking hate Captain Beefheart. I really do.
This was funny because I got a text this morning. I think it was yesterday morning. Mm. Right before one of my classes started. And it just was from Jeff. And it just said, I fucking hate Trout Mask Replica.
Oh, we haven't even introduced our guest yet, Caroline. We haven't even introduced our guest yet, Caroline.
Oh, we do have special guest.
We were very rude.
Yeah, sorry. Would you like to introduce yourself?
All right.
Hold on. Caroline.
Hi, my name's Billy. I'm a long-time listener and first-time caller.
Mm-hmm. And Billy and I are friends, and we bonded over a love of Frank Zappa.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah.
God, get ready for that. The stages. Back in the Captain, back in the Frank Zappa forum days.
That's how deep I went.
You were on a Frank Zappa forum?
Yeah, actually not that much, but I did make a couple of ones, namely Billy. So, there you go.
Don't forget Dan, too.
And Dan, friend Dan, who will probably be on an episode at some point.
I hope he does. Zappa episode.
He probably should.
I've actually had a few different people ask me to be on our inevitable Zappa episode, so...
Yeah, that's gonna be a crowded house.
Yeah, it might just have to be us. Have to be, like, nobody for that one. You and me.
Close set.
Dishing on some Zappa.
Can you imagine what we did this week? You kinda like Frank Zappa, so never mind.
I like him better than this. I could say that. So Billy, Captain Beefheart, right? I mean, what's the deal? What's the deal with Captain Beefheart?
I can't describe it. It's just the first couple times I heard Mass Replica, it just took me a while to sink in, but then after that, I was just like, man, this guy is great. And I took a poet class last year, and he was the guy that I based like my poetry on. I wrote a poem about him, and just thinking about him inspired me, you know, to just write different stuff.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That makes me feel bad for ripping on him now.
Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of this episode.
It's
like...
Frank Zappa, or not? No, it's Captain Beefheart. Jesus, it's Captain Beefheart. So I think that's to be expected.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like Beefheart falls into this. I feel bad because I've been like knocking down avant canon artists since like the beginning of this podcast. I feel very like middle of the road or something. Like I just want to say I like weird music too. All right, but this I get very little out of this. I really hate Captain Beefheart as a vocalist. I think he's just obnoxious.
Oh, I think that's the best.
That's the best part.
Best part of it. Well, yeah, just the different sounds he can make with his voice and his range.
All too.
I mean, he's not a good like classical. He's not a good classical vocalist.
Well, sure.
Yeah, but it's different, and I like it.
Well, it is that.
I can't really describe it.
You describe it as what?
I can't really describe it.
Oh, okay.
He's just cool.
What about you, Caroline?
What about me?
What's the deal? Why should I
what's
like
the deal
Captain
with,
Beefheart?
Well, you don't have to like anything. I'm not your mom. But
why,
I kind of had a similar...
Why like Captain Beefheart?
Why do I like... I kind of had a similar experience to Billy where, like, I asked for a CD of Trout Mask Replica for Christmas when I was, like, 14. And I got it. Like, one of my uncles bought it for me. And he was like, I don't really like Captain Beefheart, but you're, like, kind of weird, so you'll probably like him. And, I didn't like it. I was like, this is too busy. It's giving me a headache. I don't like it. It was just, like, too much going on. And then I kept going back to it. Like, I just kept wanting to know, like, what do people get out of this? And then it kind of turned into a thing. And then I became a captain. I wouldn't say that I was ever, like, a huge Captain Beefheart fan, but I was a huge Trout Mask Replica fan. And I hadn't listened to it in a few years. I think the last time I listened to it was when Don Valet died. Like, I listened to his albums. And just listening to it again, I was just like, man, this is great. There's just a lot of stuff going on. And it's kind of an aesthetic, like, universe that Captain Beefheart kind of built around his music. And
he actually... Sorry. He actually said that he didn't want his music to be hypnotic, and that's why it's so herky-jerky.
Yeah,
and
all
I over
think
the
that's
place.
True. It's like anti-krautrock. There's no grooves or, like, no... There's not a lot of, like... If there is repetition, it's, like, kind of in a blues or, like, Bo Diddley kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
Especially on his first album.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the Boredoms, you know? A loud, like, you know, obnoxious, shrill vocalist and just these starting and stopping rhythms and just everything is nonsense. Like, this music is nonsense.
I really would not compare Captain Beefheart to Yamatsuka Ai.
Really?
No, not really. I never thought about it. I don't really see a lot of similarity between them.
They're both
except
annoying.
That like, you personally don't like them.
They're both annoying and loud and have one vocal register and
Wow, you could not be more wrong. I would compare, you know what's funny though, is you make that comparison, I would actually compare their visual art.
Like, what?
Yeah. Like, Yamatsuka Eye and Captain Beefheart, like, their visual art that they both have done is kind of, like I could see Yamatsuka Eye being influenced by Beefheart in that sense, but not really.
I haven't seen anything Eye's done, but I have seen a lot of Beefheart's work.
Yeah.
He actually has some in the Museum of Modern Art.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
He's done, like, some, like, he did the art for Dock at the Radar Station. And I think that's it, but that's a pretty cool cover.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, okay. But, you know, it doesn't. We were talking about this the other day, and you suggested that maybe it wasn't so much that I hated Captain Beefheart as that I hate Trout Mask Replica. And, you know, I don't think that's true. I think I hate almost everything Captain Beefheart has done, but Trout Mask Replica is just, like, the most egregious example.
It is the most Captain Beefheart of all of it.
Sure. You know what, we can get to Trout Mask Replica when we get there, but we can talk about Safe as Milk first.
This album is
not good. It's boring blues rock with, you know, Captain Beefheart vocals over it. I don't like it at all. What do you have to say for it?
In its defense. No, but I can see why you don't like it, because you don't like 60s.
Yeah, music. I mean,
this is very 60s, and it's got this kind of like flat 60s production that I really like. It's got Electricity, which owns. It's got Zigzag Wander, which fucking owns. Abba Zabba is a cool bass solo. This album's great. Whatever, bro.
Have this on vinyl.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
How's it sound?
I haven't listened to it. I think I just picked it up in one of the cheap bargain bins.
Oh yeah.
Record store. I'm not sure how good it looks or anything.
You can
I
get
just
this
got
pretty
it.
Cheap, can't you? Like,
probably.
I think this album is fairly easy to snap up. I had a Shiny Beast on vinyl for a little while, but then I
sold. That's neat.
Yeah, I sold my entire vinyl.
Yeah, and then you sold it before you met me, and you could have sold, or just given it to me because we're pals.
I'm sure you can find it. It was on Warner's, wasn't it?
I don't know. Probably.
I feel like it was.
No, it was. It was.
Okay. Then why'd you make such a big show of maybe it wasn't?
I don't know. I don't know.
You're so unself-aware, Caroline. You just never know why you do anything, do you?
It's all for attention, okay?
It's all for attention.
We just want attention.
That's why we have a podcast, isn't it?
Well, the podcast was your
Well, yeah, but you jumped on board.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, you were excited about it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because I had been wanting to get in the podcast game for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were trying to be a world-class podcaster.
Yep, and now I'm living that dream.
Yeah.
You're a star.
Shouts out to the 15
Actually, one time I was upset. Yeah, one time I was upset about something, and Jeff was trying to make me feel better, so he told me about how I was like the star of our podcast.
I mean, I think you are. Who's Thank listening you. To this for Jeff? I mean, come on.
That person that met me one time and said that they thought you had a really sexy voice.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoever this.
You think they're still listening, though?
Well, you know, your voice doesn't change.
No, but you may grow tired of it after a while.
I never do.
Dude, you know what?
What?
Paige knows a guy who reads books on tape for a living, and mm-hmm. like, that's what I want to do, man. I would be great at reading books on tape.
We talked about this.
Oh yeah, you were there.
Yeah, I was.
That's right. This was just last weekend.
Just, you know, get it on air. Tell the people.
Okay. Hey, if any of you have connections in the reading books on tape game. Let me know. I'm all about
that. Get Jeff those Audible dollars.
Yes. I would be so good at it.
Mm-hmm. You know what song is really good?
None of the ones on this album?
Yellow Brick Road.
What?
I always really like that song. That's like kind of a minor song, but it's got that really cool drum stuff in it.
It's not as good as Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, though.
Yeah, I gotta admit, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road is great.
That's the best Elton John song.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Because what's the competition? Fucking Crow Rock?
Rocket Man.
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting?
Yeah.
Sure.
Benny and the Jets.
Oh, Benny... Yeah, the Jets is pretty good.
Yeah, my friend's band does a cover of it. That's pretty great, actually.
Does this sound like Royal Trucks?
Nah, it sounds like Elton John, but not very good.
really take your friend's band to task.
They might play my wedding, so, you know, it's...
I thought Andrew and I were going to play.
Not after this.
That's Chocolate Starfish.
I'm burning all my bridges here.
Jeff, you might find this interesting. Okay. The CD bonus track, Safe as Milk, one of the songs is called Corn Ringfinger, and Corn is spelt with a K, just like your favorite band, Corn.
Do you think that's where they got the name?
That's exactly where they got the name.
From the Captain Beefheart bonus tracks on Safe as Milk?
Yep.
Real big influence on Corn?
Clearly, yeah. Jonathan Davis is, you know, throwing for, like, those beefheart rhymes all over the place.
Well, some of that guitar work is pretty scrankly, if that's
sure.
a word.
I don't think it is.
It is now.
Yeah, I just made it one. I am a linguist on par with Shakespeare. Going to change the English language forever.
Yeah. You're the new Simpsons. Simpsons was the new Shakespeare, and you're the new Simpsons.
That's true. Kids, get out there, start using the word scrankly as often as possible.
Sure.
And every time you say that, be like, that's this new word that I heard on this podcast.
It's called Our Way Your Life. You should subscribe to it on iTunes.
Be sure to rate and review while you're there.
Please do. Nobody has.
We've gotten, I think, some ratings. I don't know about reviews, though.
Oh, okay. I reviewed it. I know you did.
Yeah. No.
Don't blow your own cover.
Well, I
usually just go through the website.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people do that. Who uses iTunes anyway? I mean.
Yeah, it's kind of true. Like, I don't subscribe to podcasts on iTunes.
Yeah, no.
I probably should, just to, you know,
support
put my money where my mouth is or something, but I don't.
Well, good job, Caroline.
Yep.
All of your favorite podcasts are suffering because of your selfishness.
Yes. Yeah, they're all going to implode. I'm going to send We Hate Movies straight to the poorhouse.
Pretty sure they're already there. But Save His Milk, like, what, Billy, what do you think of this album?
I think it's pretty good. I think my favorite part of it is at the end of Electricity. There's a where he's just singing so loud, so hard that at the very end you can hear a little pop, and that's just our microphone just blowing it up.
Yeah.
That is neat, actually.
Yeah, that's like a totally punk kind of story.
That's pretty cool.
I'm sure Henry Rollins has done that.
At some point.
The love of your life, Henry Rollins.
Sure, handsome man.
Probably he was trying to record My War.
Yeah, probably.
That is a barrage of intensity.
Sure.
Well, I don't really have anything to say about this album. I think it's boring and I don't like it. That's really it.
It's good if you like the blues.
Sure, and I don't.
Or like older stuff, and it's an easy way to segue into his weirder stuff that comes later.
Yeah, and if you don't like 60s music, you're not going to like this album, because this is like a little more standard 60s blues-ish than it would be later. So, you know. But if you do like that shit, and I love that shit, you'll love this album like I do. Yeah. So next up, we're talking about Jeff's favorite album of all time, Trout Mask Replica.
Yes. All right. So you guys have already talked about Trout Mask Replica a little bit.
Sure.
So here's my thing. Trout Mask Replica has a certain mystique to it.
Sure.
That I think this is something I've talked about on this podcast before. This kind of mystique that comes with certain avant-garde bands, like the Residents. You know, they have so much like mythology surrounding them, and same with like Throbbing Gristle. Like, I think those like recordings, you know, people, they have their like avant-garde phase where they discover all this kind of shit and they get really into it. But like, Trout Mask Replica is not a good album. Like, okay, like, for
in what sense?
Okay, so this album is like avant-garde as fuck, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It does one thing. This album literally does one thing.
Okay.
It is blues rock with all of the musicians playing out of time with each other.
False.
That's it.
False.
That's all there is to it.
No.
It's that for 80 fucking minutes.
No. Wrong.
80 minutes. Like.
Well, it is 80 minutes.
Damn right it's 80 minutes. And I just, this is fun for like 5 minutes to me. Like, I can enjoy it for about that long. And then like every song is exactly the fucking same, with the goddamn skittering drums and the guitars that are playing gibberish that does not connect with each other at all. And Captain Beefheart just fucking like yelling over it and his like fucking surreal lyrics, or you know, it was a pleasure. You gave me an ice cream sandwich.
Oh, we're pulling that one back out.
Yeah, it's the same shit. It's the same shit. Like, it's more of that, like, Residency nonsense, you know? Of just like, woo-hoo-hoo! Like, and everything is weird here in Camp Beefheart Land. Like, here's the thing. Like, some people have said that kind of thing about Ween, who I love.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the same thing, because like Ween,
it's not.
Ween kind
are
of have,
very polished.
Well, I'm talking like lyrically. Like Ween have their absurdist lyrics or whatever, but I think they're working in like there's a sort of parodic element to it where they're sort of drawing on this history of rock music, and like really they're just amplifying the silliness that's already there in like rock music of the past, you know? Whereas Captain Beefheart shit is just this like disconnected like tangle of words that like are kind of stupid. Like I don't like any part of this. Like, and it's so goddamn long. Like, how can you listen to this for 80 minutes? I do not understand.
Okay,
like, fucking
gall. I'm not banging out Trout Mask Replica every day. I'll say that. But
how could you?
This is a really immersive album that takes you on a little journey through like madness. And it's great. And it's great. And like, have you heard Dolly's Car?
Yeah.
You know what fucking owns that song?
All right. Like, what songs would you point to as being especially good on this album? Like, either of you.
Okay. Billy, I'll let you go first.
Billy, you go first.
All right. Big Joan Sets Up. It's one of my favorites. And it has some of my favorite lyrics in When Big Joan Sets Up, Her Hands Are Too Small, She's Out of Reach.
Hoy, hoy! When Big Joan comes out, her arms are too small, her head's like a ball. She tied off her horse and galloped off into the moonbeams. She pulled up her blouse and compared her navel to the moon. I did my life for a while.
The juxtaposition is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else we got here. Oh, Owen Ditch. I don't know if any of you have seen this, but there's an audio recording on YouTube of Captain Beefheart reading Falling Ditch like back in the midnight. And it's got to be one of the saddest things I've ever heard, because you can just tell how sick he was at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I would point to the song Well, too.
So these songs are all in a row here.
Yeah, okay.
Is this
really
the point in the album where Stockholm Syndrome is setting in? Or like...
No.
Like around
that's
track
just
16,
a really good...
that's where it happens?
Stop it. Listen. Well is a really great song, and it's a really, really fucking good vocal performance. Also, there's an album... God, what's the name of the guy? It's an album called Plays Well, and it's like this dumb avant-garde shit that's really good. And like, it's all building to this guy singing the song Well, but he is like kind of a pretty voice, so it doesn't quite work, but it sort of works. China Pig is great. I know you wouldn't like it because you don't like blue shit.
What's good about China Pig? What makes that better than the other songs on here?
Well, it's, you know, it's like a kind of typical, not typical, but it's like more of a blues song. That's
just
sort of...
a couple guys just sitting around drinking beers and having fun playing music.
Yeah, haven't you ever done that, Jeff?
Yes.
Well, yeah, don't you?
It was way more fun than this album is.
No. She's Too Much for My Mirror, fucking owns.
Okay.
Hobo
Old Part of Play is a really good one.
Yeah, and Veterans Day Poppy, I think. The outro to Veterans Day Poppy is so good. That's like one of my favorite moments in an album. Just like the end of Veterans Day Poppy and how it just like kind of all fades away to this one thing. That gives me chills.
All right, let me ask you
this. Every time. Chills, I'm telling you.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Are they multiplying?
Yeah. I'm losing control.
Damn it, I forgot what it... Okay. Does this album justify its running time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you agree it does?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of the few.
One of the few.
It's one of the few albums that
of
justify
all the 80-minute albums, this is one of the ones that deserves to be 80 minutes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You heard me.
What would you take out? Or what you wouldn't take any of this out?
No.
I'd probably take out a couple of the hair pie songs, but that's it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
even take those out. It's all part of it.
This shit all sounds the same to me. Like, the fact that you can point at different tracks and be like, oh yeah, this song is fucking awesome. Like, that I'm mystified. Like, it all sounds the same.
Well, this album has been a big, like, of my life for like 10 years,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've listened to it several times. I've been aware of this album since I was a teenager, probably. And, you know, I was initially kind of fascinated by it, too, because, like, look at that cover art, man. That's awesome.
And yeah, it is.
One of the best covers ever.
Sure. And, like, you know, it's got the reputation as being the crazy album, you know? And, like, I want nothing more than to like this album, but I just... Like, okay, so my assertion that this is just blues rock with all the musicians playing out of time with each other, like, how is that
not...
That's
super reductive.
That's all it is! It can be reduced to that.
It can't.
Do you like any songs on here, Jeff?
Again, it all sounds the same to me. It all, like, just sort of melds into one fucking... Like, I mean, probably... I don't know, maybe Frownland, just because it comes first and I'm not tired of it yet.
It's also a pretty short song.
Yeah.
Although most of them are pretty short.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Right, and like it's the song I've heard the most times on this album, just because of all the times I've like tried to start listening to this and just like shut it off by track 8 or so. Why is that reductive, though? Why do you think that?
Because, like, if you've listened to any blues music at all, which I'm not sure that you have, you would know that, like, none of these guitar
blues
lines
rock.
Would pass muster on, like, a Muddy Waters album.
Blues rock.
Not See, blues. This is, like, what you... Okay. This is worse than you trying to tell me that, like, Fish is basically Hootie and the Blowfish. Because the thing about that was, you were kind of right. I just don't want to believe it because I really like Fish. Here, you're way off base.
If you say so.
I'm not mad at you.
You sound mad.
Just am saying. I can't stay mad at you. I can't stay mad at that face.
I'm precious.
Yeah, you're adorable.
With all my terrible opinions.
They really are. Let me ask you this, though. Like, okay. It's interesting. Well, this isn't really a question. It's just an observation. I just want you to answer for it. All
right.
It's interesting to me that there's an album that you love that is very similar to this album, just for a new time. And it's Twin Infinitives by Royal Trux.
Oh, yeah, it's way better than this album.
So what's your deal, bro?
Because the vibe of that album is incredible. It's the most, like, sordid, like, gross, just scuzzed out, like, heroin blues rock, like, fucked up. It's way more fucked up than this album, honestly. Like,
it's... Okay.
Twin Infinitives is trudging through the muck. Like,
no, I know it is. Like Twin Infinitives is great, but Infinitives is a different atmosphere from this album, because that is like you have a head cold that's lasting for 80 years.
Yeah, see, that's a vibe that I like, though. What is the vibe of this album? It's just like goofy and stupid.
It's
like
the thing about this album is that they were locked house for months practicing this album, practicing. It was enough to drive anybody crazy.
Yeah, sure. I would say the vibe of this album of like paranoia a little bit, like kind of a very cultish like Manson thing, and I get that not even like Dvorak story, which I actually didn't know for a really long time. This album has a lot of like weird paranoia and just like never being able to be left alone kind of feeling to it, which I could understand like not enjoying, but I could also understand not fucking enjoying feeling like you're withdrawing from heroin the way you feel when you listen to fucking Twin Infinitives.
And Beefheart is obviously an inspiration on Royal Trucks. And Twin Infinitives, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that that is an album that does one thing and does it for 80 minutes, but...
And it's great. Yeah, I love
well,
it.
I just like too. That vibe better. I find this music annoying. Like,
okay.
It's, you know, and I've heard the story about them locking up in the house and fucking, like, every note on this is very intentional. I've heard all that, and, you know, I hear that, like, all the countless hours they put into rehearsing this, and it just makes me sad. Like, those poor people.
What, that they wasted all that time on this?
This is what they came up with. Fucking being locked in that house forever and ever. Like,
I would like to see you do better, frankly.
Well, is that... I had heard that story was possibly a myth also. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I think so. Don Valais would, like, very much, like, give contradictory answers to things in interviews and say, like, he never did drugs, and then, like, completely contradict that and shit like that. So I'm sure a lot of it was, but not all of it was.
Sure. He was also kind of an abusive band leader, is my understanding.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was very much a dictator as a band leader.
Oh, yeah.
Which I mean,
there's a pretty good documentary about him on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
They interviewed Frank Zappa and a few of the other band members, and you should check it out.
Yeah. For Frank Zappa to take umbrage with somebody who's a band leader, that tells you something.
Yeah, it's like the two biggest assholes in rock music.
They both earned it, though.
What was I about to say? I don't know. I was about to say something.
Oh, I discovered... I just read this on Wikipedia, but it does say citation needed, so I don't know if it's true. But it says filmmaker David Lynch has called Trout Mask Replica his favorite album of all time.
That's
neat.
That's almost, like, too obvious, though.
Yeah, I would agree. That's where I think, like, I know, like, Matt Groening loves this album.
Sure.
He's a huge fan of this album. But, yeah, it does seem too obvious.
Right, that's, like, too perfect.
Old Davy Lynch.
You know? Like, of course this would be his favorite album. Like, he should be, like, more... I don't know. Like, you would think he would say something more ridiculous would be his favorite album.
Yeah, like Electric Mud by Muddy Waters.
What?
Or An Evening with Mildman Fisher.
Oh, that... okay, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
You know how much you hate this album?
Yeah, a lot.
Like, triple that, and then you'd get An Evening with Wildman Fisher.
Ah, well, that sounds like, fun.
Wild Man Fisher stabbed his mother.
So he like legitimately earned his name.
Yeah.
That's not like a
he had some problems that I think were not addressed properly.
He was a wild man.
Yeah, but Evening with Wild Man Fisher is interesting, but I've only listened to it like 3 times and I think I was like, I don't feel like that one. It's a very similar runtime.
It's also 80 minutes?
It's like a double album. It's really long.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it was on it was on Bizarre.
I think it's just
the Frank Zappa.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
I think it's just a product of recorded in the 60s. They're just like signing all these crazy bands. It's like, who knows what they're going to do? Just sign them and let them do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah. The 60s was the old 90s.
That's true. It's good thinking. It is weird. Like, it is strange that this album was like a fairly mainstream release, you know? I mean, I think it was kind of like culty,
I don't feel like, this was extremely low selling, in the US, but in the UK it charted, cause they have a whole weird history of music and like they glom onto stuff that we don't like. And I don't trust them over there.
Hey, the UK understood the Pixies when we didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
That's something to be commended.
Yeah.
I think.
But they also gave us Morrissey, so, you know.
Well, you can.
I don't feel like America would have stood for that.
We've given the world plenty of terrible music. Name one terrible music we gave the world.
Shit, I set myself up. I'm not going to let you say this album.
It's not what I was going to say. Okay, this album, sure.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the next album, which is like this album, not as good?
It is half as long.
Yeah, and it's not... I don't, like, some people will tell you that this one is better than Trout Mask Replica, and I don't get it.
Did you say the name of the album?
Oh, yeah, it's Lick My Cows Off. Sorry, y'all.
Wait, you cut out. Say it one more time.
Lick My Decals Off, Baby.
Which, pretty good title, I'll give it that.
Sure.
I like that title, that's funny.
Yeah. This album is, like, okay, and I like the instrumentals, and, like, Space Age Color is good, but I don't like it as much as the last albums, or the last one, so.
Peon has to be one of my favorites on this album, or out of his whole catalog, actually.
The instrumentals are the highlights for me.
How do you think this compares to Trout Mask, Billy?
I agree with Caroline. It's not as good. It's still good. I mean, it has some good songs on it, but the whole feeling of the album, I'd much rather go with Trout Mask Replica.
Mm-hmm.
So see, what do you see as being the difference between this one and Trout Mask?
This one seems a little more reserved to me, and I just don't think the songs are as good.
I don't know.
I agree with that.
It pretty much sounds the same to me. I don't know.
Well, whatever.
Is it that much more reserved? I mean, I think there's only one guitar on it.
That's a problem.
So there's that. But otherwise, I mean, it's pretty much just sounds like Captain Beefheart. I don't know, like, what you would find to dislike about this album if you liked Trout Mask Replica.
Neither of us dislike it. I just don't like it as much.
All right.
The cool thing about this, apparently, they did a music video for this. I'm just reading about it on Wikipedia right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's on YouTube.
Probably.
Which song is it for?
What was it, Me Bop?
Yeah, I don't like this album.
Big fucking surprise.
Well, it's just, I don't know what else I can really say. I feel like I've made my case already, and that it pretty much stands for this album, too. Actually, I probably like this one a little better than Trout Mask.
Because it's shorter?
It's shorter, yeah, and what you describe as more reserved, I might call less annoying. So, you know, maybe...
I think a lot of people would say less reserved equals less annoying, or more reserved equals less annoying in a lot of situations.
Sure. I guess maybe this isn't as pure a concentration of beef heartiness as Trout Mask Replica is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I would never listen to this unless I was being forced to.
For like, some kind like, of podcast.
Right, like for a podcast or something like that. I kind of thought, you know, even like the Boredoms, even after that whole week of listening to the Boredoms and not liking it at all, I don't know if I'm completely done with the Boredoms. I'm pretty sure I'm completely done with Captain Beefheart. Like, I don't think I ever need to listen to any of this ever again.
Listen, buddy, life is short, and you have to do what you have to do to make life even mildly bearable, but, you know, because like, we all know it's garbage.
Well, all right, getting a little depressing for our podcast could be your life, but...
That's territory we've never got to.
Nah, we've never gotten to the depressing part.
of life.
Right. I don't want to, like, come off as, like, gleeful here, because I really don't want to dislike Captain Beefheart. Like, you know, other people like them, like, people who share a lot taste-wise with me.
Yeah, but you can't like everything that you listen to.
I know. Sometimes
there's
just some stuff
that's not gonna get. Yeah, I do too. Like, I wish I liked the fucking bands you're making me listen to that like I'm dreading. But
maybe you'll come to like them this month.
I doubt it. I've tried.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, like, some things just fly by you. Some things, like, you should like them, but there's just something about them that you don't.
Mm.
And it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Other people are so excited about them, though.
Yeah, but that's them. There's stuff that you're super excited about.
You're right, but, you know, I guess it's kind of a grass is greener thing. Like, oh, maybe the thing that they're excited about is actually better than the thing that I'm excited about.
I agree, but I will also tell you this.
Okay.
That, you know, you folks like you and I become very myopic about what is, like, popular and what most people like, because the vast majority of people on Earth, even if they've heard of Captain Beefheart, are going to be like, what the fuck is this shit?
Right.
I don't need this.
I don't think I'm not aware of that.
Yeah.
I think Bill Nye once said that everybody knows something that you don't.
That's true.
And it kind of goes in with the music. Yeah. Everybody likes something you don't, and you can always learn from other people and just pick and choose whatever you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Without having to take the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say something about how Bill Nye was a big Captain Beefheart fan.
It was Bill Nye that said, awesome. Captain Beefheart is fucking awesome. It's my favorite Bill Nye
I
quote.
I wish that had been my school yearbook quote. My actual
Captain Beefheart is fucking awesome, quote Bill Nye.
Yeah. No, my actual high school yearbook quote was was the World Yes lyric.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You told me about that.
Shining, flying, purple wolfhound, show me where you are. Thought that was fun.
What song is that from?
It's from Years of Disgrace.
I don't appreciate the tone of condescension in your voice as you told me that.
I'm sorry. I just get really excited about that song because it's great.
You do love your Yes.
I do. I'm only human.
Yeah, yeah. Future.
I don't have much. I don't have much to say about this album. Like, I pretty much said my piece about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really gain any more perspective on it than I already had listening to it again. Like, it's good, but it's not as good as the other albums that we're going to talk about, and it's not as good as the two that we did talk about, so.
All right.
I think the cover's pretty cool. They're all, like, dressed, and they got pearly one guy with a pearly stash.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's just a look into some mustache stylings.
Sure. Nice calligraphy, too.
Yeah.
Is this a mustache podcast?
Is this an episode of Great Mustaches?
All right, so we're going to talk about Shiny Beast, parentheses, Bat Chain Puller.
Mm-hmm. Bat Chain Puller by itself was released, like, 2 years ago, and that was, like, supposed to be what Captain Beefheart wanted Shiny Beast to actually be, but they're both good. So we all won.
So Bat Chain Puller was not what Captain Beefheart wanted it to be?
A Shiny Beast?
Yeah.
Well, there was Frank Zappa and Herb Cohen, who owned Discreet Records, which this came out on. Or what this was recorded for. They were having some legal issues with something or other that I don't really give a shit about. And so Frank Zappa held the master tapes to the original, and so Captain Beefheart recorded this instead.
Hmm.
So. But they're both good. We're all having a good time. Listen to Shiny Beast.
So guess what?
What?
This album's all right.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's more than all right. It's great.
This is like his art pop album, which
it kind of is.
Which, like, I can dig that. You know, like, Tropical Hot Dog Night is my favorite Captain Beefheart song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah, and like, unlike a lot of I think it's really funny. Like, the lyrics just, like, crack me up the way he sings it, you know? The
Tropical Hot Dog Night. Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Every color of day. Twirling around at night. I'm playing this music. So the young girls will come out to meet the monster tonight. Tropical hot dog night. Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. I don't want to know about wrong or right. I don't want to know.
Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Like,
yep.
That's funny.
And then you got the trombone.
Yeah, yeah. And Yeah, this album's got a lot of, like, marimbas and horns on it, and not, like, free jazz horns, just, like, nice horns, you know?
Yeah, not like those shit free jazz horns.
Well, I mean, on Trout Mask, the horns are just blaring over fucking all the other shit, and it's just like another guitar, basically, but, yeah, like on this album, they add a nice spot of texture, and it's not just like another fucking shrill atonal thing that he can pile on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. This is a good, I mean, the semi-titular track, Bat Chain Puller, is...
Oh, that song is so good.
Wonderful, yeah.
That was based on a noise that windshield wipers were making.
Really?
And it sounds like that. Yeah. It's so good.
That's awesome. That's really funny.
See? So see, maybe old Captain Beefheart isn't so bad after all.
Well, if he wrote...
I really like Candle Mambo.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, definitely. I just like this album has like a... It's friendly, you know? It's not like his other records, which is just like, you know... nonsense. Like this is a friendly record. It's a goofy record, and yeah, it sort of takes, because I think like all of Beefheart's music is kind of goofy, but this one like extends that to some sort of like positive vibes than a feel from this record. It's kind of tropical, kind of summery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real his Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, exactly. Like I could lay out by the beach and listen to this shit for sure.
Yeah.
This is...
Here's a neat connection for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bass player on this, Eric Feldman, he played keyboards with the Pixies on Trompe Le Monde, and he played with PJ Harvey, too.
Really?
Son, we have our 6 degrees of Steve Albini. Right. Okay.
We've abandoned that in recent episodes just because I forgot, or I got bored with it, or probably both.
We were bringing it back.
Yeah. This one.
Yes, thank you very much.
It's right there. So it's pretty easy to make the connection. So that's, that's interesting.
Oh, also played with he also played Fear, and so did Flea and Scott Tunis, who played bass with Frank Zappa.
He played with Fear? Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Fear of New York's All Right if you like saxophones fame.
Yep. Man, that's them.
That song was like, that song and Empire State of Mind were like the only two songs I could think of while I was in New York. I was just like walking around New York with like, New York's All Right, like going on in my head. And also, you know, now you're in New York. I need to learn some more songs about New York so that I can sing those next time I'm in New York.
Cotton Crown.
So you can be in a New York state of mind.
That's true. That doesn't have like a good hook I can belt, though. That one just goes like New York state of mind.
Jeff loves to belt.
I do. I'm belting all day, belting all night. Call me Jeff Belton Brubaker. That's what I'm known.
They should.
That's how they know me at work. Because I'm always belting.
Also, you wear 6 belts at all times.
That's also true. I have
try to guess
belts.
Where.
Yeah, you can't see them all. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Look, you can't come between a man and his belts, all right? Look, at least I'm not like that guy that was wearing a tie as a belt in that, like, Tumblr pictorial. Do you remember that?
Yes. I will say I have worn a tie as a belt before. because no, listen.
Okay.
It was because at my grandfather's funeral, whatever shit my mom picked out for me to wear, because I was at 20 years old, I still wasn't picking out my own fucking clothes. It was just like, it was like a gray shirt and gray pants. And she was like, you know what? You need something just to perk that shit up a little bit. And I was like, Mother, we're going to a funeral. And she was like, no, come on. And she gave me one of my grandpa's old ties to wear as a belt.
That just seems like garish for a funeral.
It was not. It was a very subtly colored tie, and nobody complained about it.
Is that like common practice?
I don't know.
Ties as belts?
I don't think so. It shouldn't be. I felt stupid, well, and I looked stupid.
Justifiably.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I listened, and then like on the way home, or on the way back to my grandmother's house after the funeral, I listened to "Heavier Than a Death in the Family" by Leigh Riley's Attenuous.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, so I was working on several levels of irony.
Was it heavier than the death in the family?
Yeah, it kind of was.
What?
It kind of was.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, but, it's not good that, you know, your grandpa died, but...
Well, it was a few years ago. I'm over it.
Okay. Anyway.
He wasn't very nice. But, anyway, this album owns... I'm glad that you almost like it.
Yeah, it's I can listen to it. I might listen to it again.
Okay.
Which is more than I can say about any of these other albums.
Yep. Well, good.
Yeah, no, Billy, have we passed your favorite Captain Beefheart album already?
Is it Trout Mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I guess it's probably most people's favorite Beefheart record.
Yeah, although a lot of people will tell you it's the next one, and I can't blame them.
Is Trout Mask your favorite?
Yeah, I think it's because that's the one I've spent the most time with. I think that this one could eventually give it a run for its money, but I mean, Trout Mask Replica is like fucking Trout Mask Replica, and it was such a huge deal for me. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like has to be my favorite, I guess.
Mm.
It's like how Freak Out will always be my favorite Frank Zappa album, even if I think Uncle Meat is a better album, just because that was like the one that changed my life forever or whatever.
What's your favorite Zappa album, Billy?
That's a tie. Well, these two albums kind of go together, but We're Only In It for the Money and Lumpy Gravy.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know which one I like better.
Those go
but
together.
They're both like... Yeah. Because on the back of We're Only In It for the Money, it says, is this phase one of Lumpy Gravy? And on the back of Lumpy Gravy, I think it says, is this phase two of We're Only In It for the Money?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Civilization Phase 3 that goes with that.
A little conceptual continuity for
yep.
those of you in the audience.
So that's interesting. Lumpy Gravy, that's an interesting choice.
It's fucking Frank Zappa, man. That's what he's about.
He's about Lumpy Gravy?
He's just about, like, things like that. Like, Burnt Weenie Sandwich. Which was, of course, based on an actual thing that he would eat.
Yeah.
Well, like a goddamn weirdo.
He had a pretty entertaining chapter about food in his The Real Frank Zappa book.
Yeah, I remember the thing with, like, he would eat Jell-O. It's been a while since I read that book, but I read it like a bunch of times.
He would eat Jell-O. How wild.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank Zappa.
His kids would make fun of him because of the stuff he ate. And he was like, look, this is dad food. One of these days you're going to be eating like this.
I wonder if that's true.
That Jell-O is dad food?
No, well, like burnt weenie sandwiches and like some spaghetti thing that he ate too that was gross.
I don't know.
I don't remember. I haven't read the book in like 6 years.
That would be somewhat dismayed.
It's probably my favorite book.
Yeah.
The Real Frank Zappa book?
It's very entertaining.
So you're that big a Zappa head, Billy?
Oh, yeah.
More than Caroline?
I don't really listen to... I can't.
I would probably say yeah.
I mean, I don't really listen that much anymore, but when I did, that was all I would listen to. That was all I would talk about. It's kind of kind of sad in a way.
Well, yeah, we had very similar Frank Zappa stories, I think.
Zappa inspires that kind of devotion in people, though.
Because like, there's so much,
right,
and it's so different.
Zappa is something that goes very deep that you can get very like invested in, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's so much variety to it that, like, when you're that deep in it, like, you don't really get tired of it because you're like, well, I don't really want to listen to like his like weird avant-garde tape shit. So I can listen to the doo-wop album, or I can listen to his like '80s things.
So what kind of stuff?
It's a lot of fun.
So Billy, what kind of stuff
are
you
into?
Caroline.
Like 8 years old. Sorry.
No, it's cool. You just like, I think we're like slightly off sync with each other, and I keep thinking done talking, and I start talking, and then you start talking. It's not your fault. It's just, you know.
I already forgot what I was saying. So.
That's cool. Well, I was gonna ask. I was gonna ask Billy. So what are you? What kind of music are you into these days?
Just whatever pops up on random. I have the Google Play Music, and I've adding different albums that I've been curious about. Like if you have an album or two, I throw it on there, and I just have everything to set to random. So whenever I'm driving around, I listen to it.
So who's like, besides Zappa and Beefheart, like who's your favorite bands?
Led Zeppelin is a big one.
Okay.
Jimi Hendrix, like I play guitar, so
okay. So you're into
a lot of what I listen to, like good guitar stuff.
Yeah. You're into kind of 60s, 70s rock.
Yeah. I don't really listen to that much newer stuff, but there are a couple bands that I like. There's one called Yuck. You heard of them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm familiar.
I like their first album. That's one of my favorites. After the lead singer left after that first album, I've heard some of the stuff after that, and I don't really like it as much. But that first album has to be one of my favorites. Like
they already lost their lead singer?
Yeah, he left after the first album.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's funny. I remember when that album came out, but haven't heard much about them since then.
It was kind of funny. Like when I first moved to Dayton, I went to the local music store and I saw their CD just sitting on the shelf. And I looked at it. And I was like, "What is this?" And every time I went in there, it was there. And I keep looking at it. I was like, "What is this?" And a couple years later, I was at college, like in between classes, goofing around on the computer, and I had YouTube open, and I saw the album cover on one of my suggested videos, and I listened to it, and it was like the full album on YouTube, and I just listened to it all the way through, and when I was done, I was just like, this is amazing.
You weren't like, yuck.
No.
Good one, bro.
All right, but okay, we should get back to Beefheart though.
Talk about Doc at the Radar Station.
Doc at the Radar Station.
This album owns.
Mm-hmm. like he said in the "This is the best batch yet."
Got a bona fide classic ashtray heart.
Oh yeah.
And I really like Sue Egypt.
Sue Egypt.
Yeah. Makes me think of our friend Lucy,
mm-hmm.
who is Egyptian.
An Egyptian.
So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to friend of the show, Lucy.
Just the word Egypt reminded us of you.
Yeah. I kind of associate her with just like the entire country of Egypt.
That's true. She is
making
my closest.
Love to a Vampire with a Monkey on My Knee is one of my favorite song titles.
Yeah.
See, that's that kind of Beefheartian nonsense.
Or a carrot is as close as a rabbit gets to a diamond.
That one's good. Like, that's clever.
Yeah,
it goes.
Well, what do you like?
What do I like?
Yeah.
I like Chipotle.
That is true.
I like the poetry of Wallace Stevens. I like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Jeff
feels bad for me because I don't live close to a Chipotle.
I love Chipotle. All right.
I know you do. I know that you don't like breakfast, which I think is awful.
That's true. I'm not a breakfast person. Because I don't like eggs.
Yeah, like that's sad. Eggs are a fundamental part
of seemingly all breakfast dishes.
Yeah, well.
And
eat them in like pancakes or something.
Well, you know, I'm not a pancakes person either. So you know, I'm out. Basically all I've got is donuts and bacon. Which, you know,
can't go wrong.
Both
no.
Wonderful foods, both, but not a nutritious start to the day.
Yeah.
By any means.
Yeah, today I ate like half of a package of King's Hawaiian rolls instead of eating like actual food for breakfast, which is what I usually would do.
But and you had mad carbs, man.
Yeah, by noon I thought I was gonna die.
Talking about donuts reminds me of the old Saturday Night Live sketch where John Belushi was supposed to be this famous runner or something. He was talking about his breakfast was donuts and had donuts, breakfast of champions or something like that. It's been a while since I've seen that one.
One of my brothers was a really talented baseball player when he was like a kid and like into high school. And he did some impressive baseball thing. I don't remember what it was because I don't know the sport very well. And I think his coach asked him later, like, you know, what'd you eat for breakfast this morning? Like trying to emphasize the importance of eating nutritiously or something. And my brother was like, Cocoa Puffs with chocolate milk. So.
Or it's chocolate
well, there's
milk
just one. Cocoa
Puffs. He was like 12, so and it was the 80s, and they didn't know what was.
It was the 80s. We had chocolate milk on everything.
Yeah.
There was this one baseball player named Wade Boggs. He would eat fried chicken before every game.
Well, yeah, that puts you in a really good mood.
He was on this. He was on that episode, wasn't he?
On what episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one with all the baseball players.
Wait, which episode?
The one with all the baseball players. Fucking,
you gotta. What? I don't.
Home at the Bat. That's the title of the episode.
Okay.
We're talking softball.
Yeah. That's the one where Ozzie Smith gets trapped in like an endless void.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's my favorite thing. Yeah.
I was thinking of the episode where Homer becomes the baseball mascot. But
no,
that's
different.
A different episode.
Yeah, Dancing Homer is a different one.
Yeah.
Sorry. But do you like any songs in this on Doc at the Radar Station?
So I guess if Shiny Beast is their art pop album, then this is his like post-punk album kind of.
Yeah.
I think he's better at art pop than post-punk though. I do kind of like Run Paint Run.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. That's maybe it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like most, I think Hothead. Yeah, that's sort of a good example of where this album kind of goes wrong, in the sense that it just like nothing really happens in it. It just kind of pounds on relentlessly.
She can burn you up in bed just like she said, 'cause she's a hothead, hothead, hothead. She can throw her fight a show, she can start a fight a go. She's a hothead, hothead, hothead. We'll be right back.
puts her head into the fire, makes her red hot perspire. She's a hothead, hothead, hothead. She was burned before she was born, burning up a storm.
She's a hothead. Most of these. See, if Trout Mask Replica had too many ideas, then this, like, doesn't have enough. Like, I feel like these are sort of minimal and, like, not very interesting songs for the most part. Whereas, I mean, like, Trout Mask Replica, I don't like those songs either, but I think they're certainly the work of a singular mind. I don't know about this stuff, though. It kind of just sounds blah to me.
You don't like Ashtray Heart?
Not really. Maybe I would if I listened to it. I only listened to this once. This is, I mean, I'm just being real with you here.
this
was probably like the end of the week, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm tired of Captain Beefheart.
Oh, please. Like... I only ever listen to albums once when we do it for the show.
Okay. That's why our podcast is so bad.
Yeah, I know. I don't have a lot of time. I've got other shit to do.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah, with what we've got.
Right. I mean, but look, if you want to pay us for this.
And please.
Like, if
Nature Box. Harry's shaving kits or whatever.
Like, if you can, like, pool enough money together to pay us both $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
Then we will listen to these albums more than once.
DraftKings? I'll plug the shit out of DraftKings.
Dude, I heard, like, DraftKings was getting, like, involved in a scandal of some kind. Like, or maybe not a scandal, but, like, lawmakers are...
Hey,
their legal status as.
Listen, we want to get those advertising dollars. Don't be bad mouthing a potential future sponsor.
I meant yeah. DraftKings is excellent and should give us money.
Yeah. You know, the other day I was driving around and I got stuck behind a, like, DraftKings bus or something, but it was great because I was reminded of DraftKings and how fun it is.
Right. And how, you know, every week you have a different lineup, you know? So your fantasy football lineup, you're not stuck with that the entire season. Every week it resets. You can, you know, live on the edge, not be tied down.
It's not. You know what this isn't? This is not fantasy as usual.
No, it is not. This is a wonderful new way of playing fantasy sports. You can make thousands of dollars doing it.
Yeah.
DraftKings.com.
Yeah, go there. But can we be real for a second? Fantasy sports is basically just like Dungeons and Dragons, right?
My dad does fantasy sports.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my one brother used to do it, and his team was called the Warren Zevons, which I always thought was cool.
It's precious.
Yeah.
You mean Warren Zevon of Werewolves of London fame? A song that I totally know.
Yeah, your favorite known, song.
Yeah, my favorite song of all time, Werewolves of London.
You know what song is great? Huh. Speaking of Warren Zevon, is Rollin' the Headless Thompson Gunner.
Yeah.
That song is so good.
I do not know that song.
Well, it's good. I bothered our trivia host a while ago to play it.
Are you going to shame me for not knowing this song that apparently everyone knows that I'm, like, completely in the dark about?
I feel like most people don't know that song.
Okay.
It's not like Werewolves of London. That was a whole different thing. That was a hit.
Yeah, so only the Zevon heads know about this one.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. I actually played Lawyers, Guns, and Money at an open mic night once.
How did it go?
Well, not too bad. I miss doing those. I haven't done any in a while.
Man, I just want to play some music, man.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same here.
Just fucking get a band, bash out some high-quality rock and roll.
Yeah, with Hoobastank in the Bush.
It's true.
And the classic EP, Still Stankin'.
Still Stankin' by Hoover Stankin' the Blowfish. Check my shit out on Bandcamp.
Yeah. They do a cover of All Star that'll knock your damn socks off.
We're not so much a band as a free-form avant-garde collective.
Yeah, kind of like the Magic Band.
Right, yeah, except way better. But, you know, I suppose that's for each individual person to decide for themselves.
You know, that made me think, do you think that Don Valet heard All Star by Smash Mouth? And if so, do you think he liked it?
I'm going to say yes and yes. That's what I think.
Yep. I mean...
When did he die?
2010.
2010. Oh, man. Was it that recent?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
I was thinking like mid-2000s for some reason.
The sad thing was he was sick since like the early 80s.
Yeah, he had MS, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rough...
And that's why he quit doing music and started painting.
Hmm.
Yep, so...
That's
but us. He left behind a great legacy as both a musician and an artist. Yeah. So
at least he tried.
Yeah. We should all be so lucky to do something...
To be Captain Beefheart.
Well, to do something that we're proud of and to do something that... influences people and that people and that makes people happy and all that crap.
All that garbage.
Yeah. I would love that when I die people say that, you know, I was an influence on them.
She had the best podcast I had
ever heard. I was the best co-host of the best podcast of all time that changed the podcast game forever. Yeah.
And it's all thanks to DraftKings.com.
Yep. Thank you.
They really came through for us.
Yep.
DraftKings.com.
We didn't think we were going to make it through that first harsh winter.
The podcast, we're hemorrhaging money with this podcast. But DraftKings.com saved the day.
Yep. And now we're podcast billionaires, the first ones ever.
You know, and in the DuckTales intro, when Scrooge McDuck dives into that pile of money?
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, Jeff died tragically in a money diving accident.
Broke my neck on the money.
Yep.
It
happens.
A tragic end.
Died doing what you love.
He died, yes, he died doing what he loved.
I really loved diving into piles of money.
And dying.
And it was my undoing, but... You know, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's talk about Ice Cream for Crow.
Speaking of diving into piles of money, we should talk about Ice Cream for Crow.
This album blows.
This has a lot that I really like. Like the 1,010th day of the human totem pole, which I would say is the highlight of this one.
Have you seen the video for Ice Cream for Crow?
Yes.
No.
It's pretty neat. It's like there's parts of it where he's standing in the middle of the desert on a road showing off his paintings. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Did you see when he was on, was it Letterman?
Yeah, I liked that interview.
Yeah, that was cool.
Was it like a weird interview or?
You know, Crispin Glover trying to kick David Letterman in the face.
It's a classic moment in television history.
One of the greatest.
Did he, like, play, too, or?
Well, they showed the video for Ice Cream for Crow.
Oh, okay. So, like, was it made for MTV, the Ice Cream for Crow video?
Yeah, and they wouldn't show it.
Yeah. It was rejected for being too weird.
Sure. I mean, fair enough. Because, I mean, it's not like, you know, the MTV crowd would have really taken to Captain Beefheart, probably.
But look at all the crap they were playing in the early 80s on MTV. They're just playing any old video.
That's what people liked, though. And that stuff, I mean. The Buggles.
You mean when they would play The Residents?
Yeah, I'm dubious that they played that many times.
I mean, you know what? It was enough.
Yeah, was it?
It was enough to make an impact.
Does your mom know who The Residents are?
Yeah,
but that's because I played Meet the Residents in her car one time, afraid that I was going to, like, murder her.
Sure. That's a totally reasonable reaction.
She was really freaked out by it.
My dad doesn't know who The Residents are, so they're not famous.
Okay.
That's kind of my measure of whether a musical artist is famous or not.
Does your dad know who, like, Sonic Youth are?
He knows their name.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are that way. Like, they know the name Sonic Youth, but they haven't actually listened to them.
Yeah, I remember my mom kept, like, kind of, like, not accosting me, but she was really getting in my face. She was like, what was their famous song? Because they must have had a famous song. And I was like, probably Cool Thing, I guess. And she was like, I don't know. That's not like I don't know.
Bull and the Heather was their highest charting song in their career. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my mom didn't know that one either.
And it was the one that got the most.
How did,
like,
Teenage Riot?
Teenage. I don't think that broke through on mainstream radio at all. I mean,
no,
they weren't even signed. You know, they signed a Geffen in 1990 with Goo. So I think, like, that was a big, like, they were really big on college radio, but I don't think they were on, like, the public radar at all at that point.
Yeah.
Because that's the one song I think about when I think of them.
Teenage Riot? Sure.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
It's definitely, I mean, one of their most famous now. Yeah, that's an alt-rock standard, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of Ice Cream for Crow now. This album's really good. I really like it. The Host, The Ghost, The Most Holy, that's great. It's got some really cool, like, rhythm and guitar on it.
See, I feel like this album is kind of bland. Like, it doesn't really, like, it sort of sounds a little bit like a lot of his previous albums, but just, like, without the singularity. Like, for better or worse, Trout Mask Replica is a singular album. Like, there's not really anything else that sounds like it. And this is just sort of, like, watered down Beefheart to me. Like, I don't really hear a whole lot that grabs my attention when I listen to this.
There's a sadness to this album, I think, because it's his last one. And maybe that is sort of less energetic. And this one has a lot of focus on, like, his poetry, I guess. But I don't know. I like it.
Another neat thing about this album is the drummer is Cliff Martinez. He played for Red Hot Chili Peppers. He was their first drummer.
Yeah, I knew and I knew the name. Like, I couldn't think of.
Yeah, he does soundtrack now. He's doing, like, right.
Yeah.
He's the Requiem for a Dream guy, isn't he?
Is
it? Let me check.
No, that's Clint Mansell. Never mind.
Yeah, I didn't.
Never mind. Right.
I think he's most famous for the Drive soundtrack.
Yes, you're right.
Which is excellent, by the way.
Okay. And he worked with, like, Lydia Lunch, I think, too. Yeah,
and the Spring Breakers soundtrack.
I still have not seen Spring Breakers.
Oh, you gotta, man. You gotta.
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't like the rest of Harmony Korine's stuff that I've seen.
Well, it's...
I hear that it's different.
It's similar and different. Like, like, I had heard a lot about how it was more plot-driven than other Harmony Korine movies. Like, more like a real movie. And only, like, marginally. Like, it's very much a Harmony Korine movie, but...
Yeah, that was the thing, is that I know a lot of people that saw it that had zero familiarity with Harmony Korine at all.
Yeah.
And they all were so pit. They fucking hated it. And I was just like, y'all.
It's a beautiful movie. It's an incredibly, like, sensual, like, just moody, Like, it's so mm-hmm. it's a incredibly unique movie, I think.
Yeah, and like I always like I think Harmony Korine is interesting. I just don't think that he's made anything like good at all.
I mean,
so this one should be interesting. Yeah,
I don't really blame anyone for disliking Harmony Korine because
I mean, honestly,
he's kind of an idiot, I think.
Like, oh God, yeah.
And in a way, Spring Breakers is no less idiotic than his other movies, but it's beautiful, man.
It's just
a beautiful
really
movie.
Well directed, I suppose.
What's it?
It's well directed.
Yeah. And just like, I don't know, it has a lot of like instantly iconic moments in it, I think.
Yeah.
I think like the movie's already spawned like taglines and shit that people know it from.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, that's like instant cult classic, basically.
Sure. Did it have any Captain Beefheart songs in it?
Not as far as I know. It does have some Britney Spears and some Skrillex, though.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Sure.
If you're into that kind of thing.
Remember when Skrillex did that shit with the Surviving Doors?
No.
Well, that happened.
Like,
like, wow. With Ray Manzarek when he was still around and company.
Like, did they record songs?
Yeah.
A whole album?
I don't know if it was a whole album. They did some shit together.
Hmm.
They, you know what? They at least jammed a couple of times.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You know, he was in a screamo band before.
Yeah, from first to last.
Yeah. Paige like saw them at Warped Tour one year. It like blew her mind when she realized that was Skrillex. It's the kid from first to last.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, that's the kid that looked like Corey Feldman in a like Halloween wig.
You know, like I'll say this about Spring Breakers. It actually did kind of get me to like Skrillex a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Because, I don't know, there's this Skrillex
song. It's just really effectively used.
Yeah, and like, it's kind of funny because parts of the score are actually based off that song too. Like the melody from, what is it? Like, Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And like, the like melody from that song, like, will occasionally recur with like piano and synth and shit, and it's like kind of funny. I don't know, it's sort of hard to describe the effect if you haven't seen it, but
okay, well yeah. I'll see it and I'll get back to you.
You should see it. Yeah, I don't have anything to say about Ice Cream for Crow. I think, yeah, it's boring.
Billy, what do you think of this album?
I haven't really spent that much time with it, so I can't really make a decision. I mean, the songs I've heard the most are Ice Cream for Crow and Pat Shear's Tense.
Yeah.
That's a nice turn of phrase right there, too.
Yeah.
Pat Shear's Tense.
Yeah, I just like the way he uses words and the,
I don't,
you know, phrases they use. I know you don't, honey. But I don't know. It's just speaks to something aesthetically that I've always liked. So.
Yeah, same here. Everybody in my poetry class was like, who's this Captain Beefheart guy? Like, why do you like him so much?
He had a pretty sweet mustache.
Well, yeah, that too.
That's true. I mean, that's how you know a poet is legit. From the size of their mustache.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there have been no great women poets.
Well, they have a mustache in spirit.
Sure.
They have a mustache of the heart.
The mustache. The often neglected mustache of the soul.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
So, yeah, that's a pretty nice note to go out on, I think.
The mustache of the soul?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are we done here?
Yeah, I kind of don't have much more to say.
Because what is there to say, really?
We did just spend like the last 10 minutes talking about Spring Breakers.
That's such a good movie.
I'm sure it is.
You gotta see it.
Okay.
I gotta know what you think of it.
All right, like, give me time. Well, I have a lot of things
to
do.
I'm not saying like tonight.
Okay, well, good.
Billy, have you seen Spring Breakers?
No, I don't really watch too many movies. Don't really have that much time.
Okay.
If I watch anything, I'm just on YouTube watching different videos. Like, there's this one guy called Regular Car Reviews. Have you ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
He does reviews of, he does like Cavaliers and like Honda Civics and stuff like that, and just normal cars that no one really talks about. And it's got a nice, I think he has a master's in English, so he's got that highbrow stuff. He talks about philosophy and literature, but he also has like the lowbrow side where he did a review of a RV once, and the first thing in the video that he said was, "This is a car I can poop in." So he's for those going on at the same time. I really think it's neat.
I've got a Corolla. I wonder what he thinks of my
Corolla. I do too.
I think he actually did a review of a Corolla.
Oh, I got
more than one. Oh, he even did a Corolla A86, which is the Japanese, you know, Initial D, the anime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He did that car, review of that car.
Okay.
You know what? I'll say this for the Toyota Corolla. Fine automobile.
Gets you where you need to go.
It does.
With no fuss.
No fuss, no muss. It's not a flashy ride, but you know what? I haven't had any problems with it. Well, I've had some, but they were my fault.
Yeah, pretty much same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a fine car.
So if Toyota wants to throw a sponsorship our way?
You know what? The Corolla is a good product for cheap, you know,
yeah.
At least by car standards. It's cheap,
it is perfect to listen to our podcast in.
True. If you got an aux-in jack, plug that shit in.
And both hosts of our podcast Could Be Your Life are confirmed Corolla drivers.
That's true.
So.
I'm going to be you know what? I think if I get another car, it might be another Corolla. I might just like constantly update Corollas for the rest of my life.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing just fine.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind having one of the old Toyota trucks, like the two-wheel drive. I think that'd be neat.
Yeah. Are you? What are you
driving
now?
Maybe I could get on this Toyota Action. It's a Saturn.
Oh, okay.
2001 Saturn. It's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. It gets you where you need to go.
And that's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need a Jaguar.
No.
Weren't they known for exploding?
Jaguars?
Yeah.
I thought that was like the Pinto or something.
It was like the Pinto, but I feel like Jaguars were known for like catching on fire or exploding or just
I think it's like Ferraris.
Yeah.
Ferraris, Lamborghinis are definitely known for catching on fire.
Yeah, well, I do know that Jaguars are like notoriously awful.
That's what you get for. That's what you get Lamborghinis for. I mean, to have an exciting ride, you know, like if that shit catches on fire, that's just part of the Lamborghini experience, you know. Like you live life on the edge. You're a Lamborghini driver.
That's part of the driving experience, right there. No experience is complete without having to call the fire department.
Yeah. Sure.
Speaking of car mishaps, I rewatched Crash last night. The David Cronenberg. J.G. Ballard joint.
It's not as good as Spring Breakers.
Probably not, but yeah, well, that was a good movie. That was an all right movie that did not have any Captain Beefheart songs in it, so it's really irrelevant.
But you watched it.
I did, yeah.
And it was okay.
It was it's interesting.
See, I thought it was I understand like Cronenberg's whole style is pretty dispassionate, but like,
yeah, this one particularly.
This is a movie about fucking and car crashes, and like it's so like staid in its approach.
Yeah.
I found it like, a little boring, I guess.
If you've ever wanted to see James Spader make out with Elias Codius, your prayers have been answered.
Yes. I guess we're done.
Yeah. And on that...
That's a good note.
On that high note.
Yep.
Billy, thank you for joining us.
Billy, it's no problem. Yes. This is a big deal for me to be on this because I listen every week. Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
God, I can't believe there's all these people that listen to every week. It's weird.
Yeah.
But we appreciate it. It's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I try to tell everybody about this.
Oh, thank you.
Have you convinced anybody yet?
Well, I had this one friend who I met on a baseball card blog. I told him about your plot. He looked into it and he said that any band that does a review of the Meltons is all right by him.
Yeah.
There you go. Keep telling people. And maybe it will get that DraftKings advertising sponsorship.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for that.
Thank you.
And if we get a little piece of that Toyota money, we'll send it your way.
Sure.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I think we're done. Next week, one of my bands that Caroline has to listen to.
Yep.
And I actually feel kind of bad for dissing Captain Beefheart because it's not like this band that I'm doing is any less stupid than Captain Beefheart is.
Let's be real.
And in fact, it's probably more. But you know what? I love them. Lots of other people love them. Caroline doesn't.
I'm wrong.
Caroline is wrong. It'll be a fun ep. We'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Bat chain. Pull up. Bat chain. Pull up. Pull up. Pull up. Bat chain puller. A chain with yellow lights that glistens like oil beads. On its slick smooth trunk that trails behind on tracks and thumps. And retrieves that chain puller, puller, puller. Bulbs shoot from its snoot and vanish into darkness. It whistles like a root snatched from dry earth, sod busts and rakes with gray dust claws. Announces its coming in the morning. This train.